Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Charles Spurgeon once said, "If Christ has died for me, ungodly as I am, without strength as I am, then I cannot live in sin any longer, but must arouse myself to love and serve Him who has redeemed me." Is that how you view sin? In Dr. Kinlow's sermon titled, "The Nature of Sin," he'll challenge you through the Scriptures to see your sin, and sin in general, through the lens of Scripture. This is the second part of a two-part sermon. Let's listen and learn.
How to lie. You don't have to teach them how to steal. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish and self-centered. Adam's imputed sin gave all of us a sin nature, which makes it inevitable that all choose to commit personal sins as soon as we leave the womb. As David says in Psalm 51:5, "I was brought forth in iniquity." As the King James says, "I was shapen in iniquity." Let me say this. The only way God could not impute Adam's sin to you and me was to make us a totally new, separate class of being. We don't understand. If God did that, it would be worse for all of us. Because then you could not be redeemed by the second Adam. Because the first Adam lost it. Paul calls Christ the second Adam in Corinthians. Because the first Adam lost it all for us, we can be redeemed by the second Adam. Because you are connected to the first Adam, you can now be redeemed by the second Adam, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. And so if you were separate from Adam, there would be no redemption for you. You would be like one of the angels. You see, angels, they are all a separate creation of God. Therefore, when angels sinned, they didn't get an opportunity to repent. When they sinned, it was over. This is why Satan and the fallen angels can never be saved. The bottom line of imputation is the fact that because God condemned all in the one man, Adam, by imputing Adam's sin to all, he can now save all through the last Adam Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, the God-man, the man God, Jesus Christ. And then number two, imputed sin means the penalty of Adam's sin was imputed or reckoned to all of us also. The penalty for Adam's sin was death. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and what? And death through sin." You keep reading Romans 5:17, "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one." Remember, the death Adam died was twofold. It was spiritual and physical. In Genesis 2:15 through 17, God told Adam the day he ate from the tree, he would die. He would die and you shall die. This would be both spiritual death and physical death. In Genesis 3:1-7, we already read it. Adam disobeyed God. He ate of the tree. God commanded him not to eat. See, in Genesis 3:19, God then imposed a death penalty he promised Adam he would get if he ate. God said, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In Genesis 5:5, God pulled the switch. Text says, "So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." The proof that sin entered the world through Adam's sin, that God imputed Adam's sin to us, and he imputed the penalty to us, is the fact that we all die. Amen. Once again, Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin." In Genesis 2:15-17, God told Adam the day he ate, he would surely die. Adam ate, and eventually he died as a result of disobeying God. We also are going to die because the penalty of Adam's sin was also imputed to us. None of us ate from the tree. Then why are you going to die? I didn't eat from that tree. You didn't eat from that tree. We don't even know where the tree was. Amen. It's gone. So why do you die? Because when Adam ate, the penalty was also imputed to all of us. And this is why we all die. We're all going to die physically. Psalm 89:48 sums this truth up like this. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? This is a rhetorical question because everybody is going to die unless you are one of those who's alive when Jesus comes back for his bride, the church. See, this is the proof that Adam's sin nature has been imputed or reckoned to all of us. And we all thus share in the same penalty of this sin, both spiritual death that separates us from God and physical death, which given enough time will put all of us in the grave. Some of you are still saying, that's not fair. Let me stand on my own. I'm trying to tell you, if God did that, you would never be saved. Amen. If God let you stand on your own, you would be lost. Adam's DNA is in all of us. And in that DNA is sin, which God cannot tolerate. Therefore, we are separated from God based upon Adam's imputed sin alone. Now, some of you are saying it's not fair. I don't care if it's not fair. It is what it is. You're going to die. You're going to die because Adam ate and he died. And he brought all this on. So it is what it is. You can't do nothing but respond to it the way God says. Now, let me give an example. Went to the doctor about a month ago. I was changing doctors. And so, old doctor I used to have So I got into the office and he checked everything. He said everything appears to be fine. Hooked me up on the EKG and that's all right. And so he said, I want to go over your family history again. And I'm like, you already got it. And he said, how old is your dad? And I told him how old he was. He said, how old is your mom? I told her how old she was. And he said, what illnesses do they have now? And I told him what my dad's was and what my mom's was. And so after he gets through drawing blood and everything, he said, oh, he said, I don't expect to find anything but this and that. And I'm like, yeah, right. And I said, well, why? He said, because your mom has it and your dad has it. Therefore, probably you have it. Got my blood work back, and I'm thinking I'm cool. I'm a 53 and in shape. And for the most part, I am. But the two areas he said you're going to have problems with, it's exactly what came up on my test. Why? Because my parents' DNA is in me. And I can do nothing to get it out. The only thing I can do is respond to it the right way. Now that you know it's in your DNA, he's saying there's some stuff you have to do. Likewise, now that you know Adam's DNA is in you, there's some stuff you have to do to be right with God. It ain't fair. You are your mama and your daddy. I can't help you. Amen. We are Adam. And so let me wrap it up. What is the only solution to the sin of Adam, which has been imputed to all of us? What is the only solution to Adam's sin, which was reckoned to all of us, charged to all of our accounts? God's solution to the imputed sin of Adam is God's imputed righteousness to us by faith in Jesus Christ through his atoning work on Calvary's cross. Adam imputed his sin to us, and God's remedy is to impute his righteousness to us through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Romans 4, starting at verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5. So Adam messed it up. His sin was imputed to all of us. We're all going to die. We all are liable to the same penalty Adam had. It was imputed to us. So God's solution to that was to impute his righteousness unto us. Amen. Notice Romans 4, starting in verse 5. It says, now to the one who works, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. Verse 5, Romans 4, 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his what? His faith is what? Is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Notice verse 5 says, but to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Verse 6 says, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Notice what Paul, he says, his faith is credited as righteousness. Verse 6 says, to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. The word credit or credits in the New American Standard Bible, it's the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai means to count towards something or someone. It means to credit towards something or someone. It means to charge to one's account. It means to deposit into somebody else's account. It means to impute towards something or someone else. This is why the King James Bible translates verse 5 like this. His faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6 in the King James, unto whom God imputeth righteousness. The best way to understand this is to think of someone making a deposit into your checking or savings account of their own free will, and now the money is legally yours. See, this is God's solution to the imputed sin of Adam that infects all of us. That person's genuine belief and confession of faith in Christ. God the Father makes a deposit from his wallet of righteousness into an account he has set up for you, and now God's righteousness is legally yours. You see, if you legally possess the righteousness through genuine faith in Christ, it is impossible for the penalty of Adam's sin to be imposed on you. You need to understand, if God's righteousness has been deposited in your account by your genuine faith in Christ, it is now impossible for God to implement the penalty of Adam's sin upon you. Because God cannot impugn his righteousness. This is why right now all who are truly trusting in Christ and the salvation are sons and daughters of God. And this is why on the day Christ ascends in the cloud with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and those who died in the Lord will be raised from the dead. The reason why is the penalty of Adam's sin, it is no longer binding on you. It cannot hold you down. Why? Because you legally possess the righteousness of God. It has been imputed unto you. All of us are infected with Adam's sin because it was imputed or reckoned unto us. As a result, all of us are spiritually dead except those who have trusted in Christ for salvation. All of us will physically die. All who have not exercised genuine faith in Christ will eternally be separated from God in hell. There is absolutely nothing any of us can do to rid ourselves of this imputed sin, which is in our spiritual and physical DNA we inherited from Adam. And so this reveals the utter futility of works salvation, in which we try to do something to please God and thus be worthy enough to enter heaven, which is the place where God's local presence is. You can't get what's in your DNA out of you to stand before God righteous and holy. Only God can do it for you. Water baptism, no matter whether in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or I don't care if you went down in Jesus' name, it cannot eradicate the imputed sin of Adam that is in all of us. Water cannot eradicate the sin of Adam that is entangled in all of our DNA. Speaking in tongues, shouting, getting your praise thing on, cannot eradicate the imputed sin of Adam that is in all of us. being a groupie of some bishop, no matter whether he's local or international, will not eradicate the imputed sin of Adam that is in all of us. T.D. Jakes cannot eradicate the sin in you. He can't even get rid of his own. Amen. We get carried away with these personalities. They can't save you. Amen. Because what's inside of you, it takes a miracle from nobody less than God to get out of this DNA what is inseparable from us now, and that is Adam's imputed sin. See, if you're going to be saved, you got to get rid of not only your personal, but the imputed sin. What you going to do about that? You can get a knife and cut it out of you? Official membership in a Christian denomination or religion cannot eradicate the imputed sin of Adam that is in all of us. You cannot join a local church, and as a result, Adam's sin is purged from your DNA. Moral abstinence from all of the numerous vices in the world cannot eradicate the imputed sin of Adam that is in all of us. If you never commit adultery, never commit fornication, you never drank, Adam's DNA is still in you. You still have a problem that separates you from God. Doing the best you can by praying hard. I used to hear that. The reason I pray so hard, when I was little, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. We used to be in church all day on Sunday. Amen. Now y'all got manna from heaven. You hear an hour and 15 minutes and can't make it. We used to be in church all day. And they used to sing a song. Reason I pray so hard, I don't want to be lost. The reason I sing so hard, I don't want to be lost on the judgment day. You can't pray Adam's sin out of your DNA. You can't sing it out. You cannot climb up the rough side of the mountain doing my best to make it in. You cannot run trying to make 199 and have one. No, you can't take that out of you. It's in you. God imputed it to you. The only one who can deal with it is God. You can't take a knife and cut Adam's imputed sin out of your physical and spiritual makeup. You can't drink some kind of laxative and purge your body of Adam's imputed sin. You know, we're spending a lot of money on this detoxing. We didn't got sufficient. I'm detoxing my body of all of the impurities. And this stuff is expensive, man. You better take everything out, amen. detox, it's expensive, man. Amen. I don't know, man. You can't purge it out. It is only the imputed righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ that the imputed sin of Adam, which infects all of us, is eradicated. Or as the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul has stated once and for all in Romans 4, 5 through 6, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited, logizomai, imputed as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom the God credits, imputes, deposits righteousness apart from works. The gospel is a beautiful thing. Yes, what God did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Greatest thing God ever did. Because the mess we have in us. Some of you didn't try. Every New Year's resolution never works. For God to take a person like me, sinful. I don't know about y'all. Adam's sin was deep down in my soul. Amen. I'm just keeping it real, man. Before I got saved, I wasn't planning on nothing with God. Planning on getting far away from God as I had enough of that, Lord. You know, I was raised with that. So it's my time to do my thing. Get used to it, God. That was me. And now I never did it at home because a miracle would happen when you get home. But outside the home, every other word was a curse word. Amen. As soon as I got, it was a miracle. But other than that, I swear it with the best of them. Amen. I even outdid Pastor. Well, I don't know. Maybe not Pastor Smith. Amen. He knows I got to get him in on this. Amen. We grew up together, so I got to talk about it. You can't have me stay. We're pastors. Amen. Associates in ministry. Amen. My mind wasn't on nothing good. And God moved his Holy Spirit to convict me of my sin. I was so convicted about my sin for a whole year before I came to Christ. And then one evening in February 1978, I gave it up to the Lord. I repented of my sin. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. And I did not know it at that moment, but at that moment, God imputed his righteousness into my account that he set up for me through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. From that moment on, I've been a son of God. And my eternal destiny is nothing else but a son of God. Because of that, one day I shall see him face to face. And I will behold this God-man named Jesus in all of his glory. And at that moment, I'll be able to ask him, how did you walk the water? How did you take a couple of fish and a few loaves and feed the multitudes? How did you do it, Lord? How did you say, I want you to tell me again. You did what you said, remove the stone, and you said, Lazarus, and tell me how you worked that. And then best of all, I can ask him, why would you ever save me? Why would you have ever left all of this for me? And impute unto me your righteousness. The old evangelist Lester Roloff used to say it like this: I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Amen. And that's who I am. I'm saved and safe forever in the arms of God. God cannot condemn me, because his righteousness had been imputed into my account. The question is, has his righteousness been imputed into yours? Let's pray. Amen. I really thank the Lord for the word of God. I thank the Lord that he has clearly explained to us what our sin is and how deep it really goes. And therefore, there is no other way to be saved other than a relationship with Jesus. No other way to be saved unless God's righteousness has been imputed unto us through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that we understand our sin is so deep, much deeper than what we think, and it separates us from God. It's mingled in our DNA. It's Adam's sin. It's the sin that has caused spiritual death, and it is the sin that makes us suffer the penalty of death. And I pray that we understand there is nothing that we can do that can rid ourselves of that other than come to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Is there one today? I don't know. You don't know Jesus Christ. You can't really say his righteousness has been imputed unto my account. If there's one today, we want to give you the gospel. Jesus died for your sins on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day in order that you could believe on him. And God will give to you what you could never do for yourself. He will eradicate that sin of Adam that is in you and that is in me, and impute, deposit his righteousness. If there is one today and you would love to make that confession or profession of faith, if there is one today, would you raise your hand? The altar workers are here to minister with you. If there is one today, would you raise your hand? I pray today, if there's any in here that's not saved, that you will hear this gospel and understand, even though you, in your eyes, you're the best that there could be, and even in your eyes, there are many who are worse off than you, doesn't make any difference, because Adam's sin is in you, and that sin separates you from God. And it is the difference between an eternity in heaven and eternity in hell. I pray that God will impress that upon your mind, and that you will confess your sins, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess him as your Lord and as your Savior, and be saved. I pray for all of us who are saved that we will get a better grasp of why it's impossible for any of us to work to be saved, because we could never get Adam's sin out of us. And I pray that this will give you ammunition to witness to that one lost soul when they tell you, I'm not that bad off. I think I'm all right with God, but now you know. I pray for the many needs that exist today. I really pray for those who are sick. Brother Clarence, Sister Lenora, I pray that God will heal their bodies. Others still recuperating, I pray for them today that God will get them back totally. My Aunt Pudgy, Brother Grady, surgeries. Pray for those who are depressed, those who have just a bad marriage. Pray for our children. I don't know, you may be facing the schoolyard bully. God is even concerned about that. Amen? Yes. And God can deliver you from whatever you're going through at school right now. And so we pray for you today. God, lead us. Lord, guide us. In Jesus' name, let God's people say amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today. We pray that this sermon was a blessing to you, helping you draw near to the Lord as you put off those habits and inclinations that you know are sinful. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.